For the first time, I contemplated dropping out of school to get a better job. My dreams of getting out of this place and playing my music were blackening at the edges. If things got worse, they'd go up in flames altogether. "The words you're looking for is thank you," Chet said, breaking me out of my thoughts. I ignored him and went to my room, a tiny square that had space enough for a twin-sized bed, dresser, and a small table and chair shoved under the one small window. It was a mess of clothes all over the floor and papers all over the desk, but I'd always kept my guitar safely stowed under my bed in its case. The case was now on top of my bed's dark green plaid bedspread, open and empty. Disemboweled but for a few pages of scribbled songs spewing out like innards. I hurried back to the living room, stomach twisted in knots. "What the hell?" My words trailed as Chet reached to his feet, retrieved my guitar from the floor behind the coffee table, and sat it on his knees. In two strides, I was looming over him, the table between us. "What do you think you're doing?" Chet hefted the neck with one hand, a cigarette clutched between his fingers, his other meaty fingers strumming the strings. "Nice instrument. Your daddy gave this to you." "Give it to me," I said, my hand outstretched, shaking. Unperturbed, he played a discordant note. Ash tumbled along the guitar face and into the sound hole. "Nice. Too nice, maybe." "Give it to me," I said, spitting the words between my teeth. Chet met my gaze while he slowly held the guitar outstretched. I snatched it back by the neck. "Stay the fuck out of my room," he chuckled. "Touchy, touchy." I strode back to my bedroom, returned my guitar to its case, and carried it back out. I had to make a pit stop at the refrigerator where I jammed a few snacks and a bottle of juice into my backpack. Chet's lazy gaze was on me the entire time, like ants crawling over my skin. "You write a lot of flowery shit, don't you?" Chet observed. I slammed the fridge door. "What did you say?" "I read your songs, Bobby Dylan. You think you're in love?" he snorted. "This girl you write for, you think she's going to fall for you once she sees all this?" He gestured at the shabby apartment, then chuckled again. "It'd have to be one hell of a song." Rage boiled in me, a red haze that clouded my vision. Then it burned out just as fast, leaving me hollowed out. He was right. Violet's care for me had never wavered, not even when, especially not when, I'd been living in a fucking car. But it was one thing to be friends with a charity case, another to kiss and fuck and walk around the school holding hands with one. Chet muttered something else, but I barely heard it. I went out, shutting the door behind me, my feet taking me to the beach, to the shack. Ronan was already there. He'd gathered up driftwood and charred bits of other people's bonfires to build his own in the small stretch of beach in front of the shack. He set the last log, creating a wooden teepee, straightened, and whipped a lock of dark hair out of his eyes. He jerked his chin at my guitar case.
"You play?"
I nodded and sat down on a small boulder, resting the case across my knees. "I caught Chet fucking with it. I'll have to bring it everywhere from now on. Here, to school. Fucking asshole." Ronan opened a small banged-up cooler and pulled out two bottles of beer. He handed me one and sat on another low rock. "Thanks," I said, and scanned the label.
"It's just beer," Ronan said. "Water, barley, hops."
"I need to know the carb count for my diabetes."
"Oh, Right, Ronan said, taking a pull off his. That sucks.
Tell me about it.
I made some mental calculations.
Cut me off at 2.
What happens if you have more than 2?
Depends. 2 could spike my sugars. More than that might drop them.
Ronan's dark eyes widened. Are you saying you can never get drunk?
I can.
I lifted the bottle to my lips with a smirk.
But it's not doctor recommended.
He blew air out his cheeks. Fuck.
Yep.
A silence fell. I'd only had to hang out with him for 2 nights to know that Ronan wasn't a big talker. I didn't mind. The quiet between us was comfortable. I could think and breathe around him without any bullshit. The sun wouldn't set for hours, but Ronan reached into his ratty backpack for a bottle of lighter fluid and a box of matches. As he did, I counted at least 4 tattoos on his forearms and biceps.
How old are you?
I asked.
18, he said, spraying a shit ton of lighter fluid on the wood. 19 in March. I got held back in Manitowoc.
18. Dude looked like he was 24, at least. As if life were beating him down like a fist, forcing out everything that was young about him. Did you get all that ink in 1 year, or did your parents give you permission?
No,
he said, and struck a match. He tossed it on the wood, which flared into a roaring fire immediately. I leaned back, shielding my eyes with my beer.
Jesus.
Ronan stared into the flames, watching the wood burn. When the inferno subsided to a normal campfire level, he sat back down.
No what?
I asked.
No permission or...
No parents,
Ronan said. He took a long pull off his beer.
Mom died when I was a kid.
Dad died in prison.
Shit,
I breathed.
Sorry, man. Why was your dad in jail?
Ronan turned his dark eyes to me, gray and flat, like the rounded stones at our feet.
For killing my mom.
Holy fuck.
I took a sip of beer since my throat had gone dry.
Who do you live with now?
Uncle.
Before I could say another word, Ronan aimed the lighter fluid at the fire. It arched like piss, and the fire flared, hot and bright. Soon there wouldn't be any wood left to burn. Another silence fell. This one completely fucking uncomfortable, since I had no idea what I should say. But that feeling came over me again. The voiceless knowing that had bonded me to Ronan in the first place. He didn't need or want me to say anything, so I didn't. Pretty soon, the silence felt good again. The sun began to sink into the ocean, setting it on fire, while the sky turned as deep a blue as Violet's eyes. When Ronan went foraging for more wood, I got out my guitar and plucked a few chords. Ronan came back with his arms full of kindling.
It's about time.
Self-consciously, I messed with the frets, tuning it. I don't play much for people.
Why not?
I shrugged. Don't know. Besides, you don't want to hear the shit I've been writing.
How the fuck do you know that?
What kind of music do you listen to?
Heavy stuff. Melvins. Tool.
Yeah, what I play is not that. Mostly, I've been writing songs for a girl.
A girl?
Ronan popped another beer and handed it to me.
Now I really feel bad that you can't get drunk.
Amen. We clinked beer bottles.
What's the story?
I peered suspiciously at him.
You'll just call me a pussy. Tell me to fuck someone else and get over it.
Yeah, maybe I will. he said with a faint grin. I laughed, then shook my head. It's hopeless, is what it is. She's perfect and rich, and I'm a poor bastard without a working pancreas. I gave Ronan a brief rundown of my relationship with Violet. After a time, he nodded.
Yep, you need to fuck someone else and get over it.
We shared a laugh, watching the flames. Then Ronan's voice grew low.
Nah, that's bullshit, he said. You need to tell her.
She's hell-bent on us being friends. She thinks it'd ruin us if we tried to be more.
So, tell her anyway.
I can't. She'd shoot me down and things would never be the same. Though I guess they're pretty fucked already. Ronan nodded.
So don't talk to her. Just, I don't know, kiss her.
No way.
Why the hell not?
Fucking boundaries for one thing. She's told me how she feels explicitly. Friends, I have to honor that. Ronan snorted and drained his beer. I leaned forward over my knees. What can I do? I told you we swore a blood oath.
When you were kids, does she suspect you like her?
I don't like her. I love her with every goddamn piece of my soul. Ronan's thick eyebrows went up, waiting. Not exactly, I admitted.
Where is she now?
I don't know. I gave the sand at my feet a little kick. There's a party tonight. She'll be there.
So, go to the party and tell her.
I just said,
you gotta fight, man,
Ronan said, his deep voice rising. His eyes flared in anger.
You fight, because if you don't, it'll be too late. And too late is fucking death.
He looked away quickly, his hands balling into fists. Memories that had nothing to do with me coursing through him like blood. I waited until they let him go, then said into the twilight, she needs me to be her friend. She needs me.
So you're her pack mule. You carry all her shit and try to make life easier on her because you care about her. What about you?
Ronan swung his head my way, his eyes asking the question beneath the question.
Do you want to be needed, or do you want to be loved?
Maybe the beer was making me tipsy, or maybe it was just the plain, simple truth of it all. Violet's home life might be crumbling beneath her, but mine was fucking on fire. If I didn't salvage something good, there'd be nothing left. I stood up, brushed the sand from my ass, and took up my guitar case. You want to come? I asked. I mean, it's probably going to be a bunch of drunk jocks playing beer pong to shitty house music. Ronan got to his feet, too, and kicked sand over the fire.
I'm coming. I told you. I got your back.
I started to smile as something like happiness tried to fill in my cracks. Suspicion got there first.
Why? You don't annoy the living shit out of me. Good enough?
His tone was harsh, but I saw a tinge of warmth in his slate gray eyes. The happiness came back. Good enough.
Chapter 7. Violet. Chance Blaylock's huge two-story on Ocean Avenue was blaring Eminem's Godzilla over 100 laughing conversations. I felt the bass even out on the street as Evelyn and I headed up the walk, muttering a curse. I was at war with my tight mini dress, a constant push and pull between tugging it down and hauling it up to better cover my boobs. "Will you relax?" Evelyn said, looking stunning in black leggings and a black bustier-style top. You are fire. River is going to lose his shit when he sees you. I feel half naked, she smirked. Exactly. In my past life, I'd never worn more than jeans and sweatshirts to social events. This was my first house party, and I felt like an imposter, or a spy from the other side, come to see how the cool kids do it. They're going to see right through me. Then I chastised myself for being silly and remembered what David Foster Wallace once said. You'll worry less about what people think about you when you realize how seldom they do. Inside, the house was dark, with only small lamps lit here and there, and a string of lights over a sound system. Bodies filled the rooms, talking, dancing, making out, most with a red solo cup in hand. The music and people filled every corner of the house, upstairs and down. Evelyn took hold of my hand. Kitchen, we need to get our drink on. We squeezed through the crowd and arrived in a spacious, brightly lit kitchen that seemed blinding after the dark of the rest of the house. The kitchen overlooked the expansive backyard, where the party had spilled out onto the patio around the pool. More colored lights were strung on the garlands, and people huddled in groups on lounge chairs, the glowing embers of joints passing from hand to hand. A bunch of football players had set up camp around the keg, next to a huge island of gray marble that was covered in bottles, empty solos, and a salad bowl filled with cherry red punch. River was among them. Hey, boys. This is Violet's first house party. Evelyn pressed a solo cup of beer in my hand and looked meaningfully at River. Be gentle. I rolled my eyes as my face flushed red. Thanks for that. Shh, here he comes. Evelyn sidestepped away as River came around the island in jeans, a white t-shirt, and a plaid button-down, open and rolled up at the sleeves. The shirt revealed every cut line of his chest, but his forearms were downright mesmerizing.
Hey,
he said. My gaze shot up to a chiseled face that looked cut from granite, a light shadow over his square jaw. Hi. River's faint smile had just the right amount of casual amusement and confidence I expected from the captain of the football team, a guy who was probably going to end up winning the Heisman and being drafted to the NFL in a few short years. But his eyes darted here and there, as if he was aware we had an audience, or nervous to be talking to me. Hello, ego. That's impossible.
So, this is really your first party?
Is it that obvious?
Nah, you're doing all right.
Any pointers? He laughed.
Yeah, if Chance offers you a cup of his world-famous party punch, say no. That shit is like gasoline.
I laughed too, and felt a loosening in my chest. River Whitmore, who I'd built up into this mythical figure, an Olympian god who wouldn't dare talk to mere mortals like me, was just a guy who needed a conversation icebreaker like anyone else. River moved a tiny bit closer. I could smell his cologne, woodsy and clean, mixed with a faint scent of motor oil. His voice grew low, private.
So, listen.
I swallowed hard. Yes?
My mom said it was awesome meeting you.
Oh, right.
You made her happy, and that's a big deal to me, so thanks for that.
Of course, she's wonderful.
Yeah. She is.
His eyes shone, and he quickly took a pull from his solo cup. Chance and a couple of guys called to him from the next room, pulling their king to the beer pong table.
So, maybe we can talk more later?
He asked, almost shyly. Sure. Yes, I'd like that. He gave me a final smile.
Don't drink the punch.
My heart ached for him. He seemed a little bit like an imposter, too. The most popular guy having to pretend to have a good time at a party while there was fear and pain waiting for him at home. The party ebbed and flowed around me. I finished my beer and someone gave me another. I finished that, too, and the ground tipped under my feet a little as Evelyn took me by the hand to make the rounds. She was effortlessly popular, confident, perfectly flirty, everything I was not. Outside by the pool, I pulled her aside. I have to ask, how come you and River never hooked up? She shrugged. It makes sense, doesn't it? But I don't know. There's something about him I can't figure out. We're not on the same wavelength. I wondered if that was code for, I tried, but he shot me down. But I'd grown close to Evelyn. She bullshitted so much she was easier to read when she wasn't. But hey, my loss is your gain, she said. You guys looked pretty cozy in the kitchen earlier. He's sweet. Sweet. Uh-huh. Did he ask you to homecoming yet? No, but he's going through some heavy stuff. Truth, the poor boy needs a distraction, don't you think? And a little nudge? What's that mean? Leave it to me. Her mischievous smile collapsed as she spied something over my shoulder. God, your lost boy is here. I swung around to see Miller sitting on a lounger, his guitar case at his feet, talking with a big, dark-haired guy who sat on a deck chair beside him. Ooh, it looks like he brought his bodyguard, Evelyn said. That's Ronan, I'll bet, the guy who broke Frankie's nose. She took in the new guy appreciatively. God, look at those arms. Yummy. Loving the ink, too, but not my scene. He looks like he just broke out of jail. Miller met my eye and I waved. He didn't wave back, but said something to Ronan, who nodded. Then Miller left his guitar and approached. Uh-oh, Evelyn said. Now is not the time to let River see you with another guy. That's silly. It's just Miller. The words tasted funny in my mouth. It's just Miller. Like saying it's just air. Always there, but essential to live. Hey, he said, giving Evelyn a nod. I'm so glad you came, I said, hugging him. His scent was so different from River's. Cigarette smoke he carried from home mixed with the cleaner scents of bonfire smoke and the salt of the ocean. Tension hummed in him, vibrating in his body like a current. I stepped back. Are you okay?
Yeah, fine. Would you like something to drink?
He took in my skimpy dress for the first time and scowled.
Or a coat, maybe?
I scoffed. Yes to a drink. You can keep the lecture.
No lecture. I just didn't realize this was a costume party.
What's that supposed to mean?
It means you never needed to dress like this before.
I don't need to dress like this now, I shot back. I choose to. And why do you care what I wear anyway?
I don't. That's the point.
He carved a hand through his longish hair, frustrated.
Shit. Sorry. Never mind. Can we go somewhere quiet? I need to talk to you.
I could use that drink first. Just water. I'm a bit wobbly. We pushed our way back through the crowds to the kitchen. Curious stares followed us, but no one gave Miller a hard time. He poured me a cup of water from a Brita on the counter, then got himself a beer from the keg. He downed the whole thing, then sucked in a steadying breath. Is everything okay? I asked.
Did Shiloh come with you? Just Ronan. Listen.
At that moment, the beer pong game broke up and the guys flooded back into the kitchen, a gaggle of girls following after. Evelyn, Julia, and Caitlin among them. More curious glances landed on Miller, but River's eyes and smile were only for me. I smiled back, then looked away, acutely conscious of Miller standing beside me. Evelyn smiled like a Cheshire cat. Oh, goody. Everyone's here. The snap of a Zippo lighter caught her attention. I take it back, she purred. Now everyone is here. The scent of clove cigarettes suddenly permeated the kitchen, and we all turned to see Holden Parrish leaning in the corner between the hooded stove and the stainless steel dishwasher. His sudden appearance was so startling, it was as if he'd been conjured in a puff of his own smoke. He was dressed in all black, a silk button-down shirt, dark jeans, and sleek black Oxfords. Despite the late summer night, he wore a black peacoat, unbuttoned, the collar turned up. A blood-red scarf was slung around his neck and dripped down either side of his torso. Tall, slender, elegant, with his striking eyes and silver hair, Holden reminded me a little of Spike from Buffy the Vampire Slayer. Vampires have to be invited in, I whispered to Miller with a beer-induced giggle. If he starts feeding on us, blame Evelyn. She sidled up to Holden, linked her arm in his, taking possession. Everyone, you remember Holden Parrish? Chance, his face flushed with beer, frowned.
Smoking's outside, dude.
A lazy smile spread over Holden's lips.
You sure about that? Your living room smells like a Snoop Dogg concert.
He tucked the clove cigarette into the corner of his mouth, squinting against the smoke, and handed Chance a small paper bag.
A token of gratitude for having me at your little shindig.
Chance pulled out a bottle of Patron Silver, and a grin split his face.
Dude, thanks.
Perfect, Evelyn said, still attached to Holden as if he were her own personal party favor. Line up the shots, boys, because it's time to play 7 minutes in heaven. Cheers and woots went around, and the shitty cheap vodka punch was replaced with the expensive tequila. Holden poured the first two shots.
To our host,
he said, and handed one to Chance. The guys clinked glasses and tossed the liquor back. Chance shook his head, blowing air out his cheeks, eyes watering. Holden took his smoothly, as if it were water. But the booze seemed to animate him, instantly warming up his cold front. He took command of the kitchen like a circus ringmaster.
Step right up, ladies and gents, and let's make some beautiful memories. I need to talk to you,
Miller said in my ear, under another round of cheers. She's busy, Evelyn said. She detached herself from Holden long enough to press a solo cup with an inch of tequila into my hand. And it's a party. Drink now, talk later. After we play.
She doesn't need to drink that,
Miller said. And she can speak for herself, I said, glaring at him. What has gotten into you tonight?
You just said you needed water.
Maybe I changed my mind.
Maybe I don't want you to get date raped by a jock in a closet.
My eyes flared. Evelyn gaped. The hell? Are you for real? But Miller ignored her, his blue topaz eyes boring into mine. I'd never seen this side of him. He'd always been intense, but never toward me. Not like this. Protective. Possessive, even. I can take care of myself, I stammered. Miller said nothing, but took the cup out of my hand, his gaze never leaving mine. He tossed back the shot, chucked the empty on the floor, then turned and walked out of the kitchen. I started after him. Miller, wait. Let him go, Evelyn said, pulling me back. He's totally out of line. River is a good guy. I know, but Miller can't be drinking like that. She rolled her eyes. He can take care of himself. River's going to play my game. Do you see where I'm going with this? You, him, a dark closet for 7 minutes? I looked after where Miller had returned to the backyard, and then Evelyn's words sank into my beer-dampened thoughts. My first kiss. It might happen. Tonight. My heart stuttered, and my cheeks felt warm. Evelyn watched my face. Ha, now she gets it. She offered me her tequila. Drink. I pushed the shot away. That'll make me sick. And if I'm going to kiss River tonight, I don't want to be drunk for it. I want to be present in the moment, to remember it and savor it. Oh my God, you're like Snow White, pure as the driven snow or some shit. It'll happen, trust me. I nodded, because Miller was wrong about River. Just because he mistrusts everyone doesn't mean I have to. How are you going to make sure that River and I end up in the closet together? Evelyn smiled. Because I make stuff happen. A bunch of us, 5 guys and 5 girls, cleared space in the living room. Music still blared over the sound system, but the dancing had subsided, and we had a small audience. I sat in a circle between Evelyn and Caitlin. River, Chance Holden, who was everyone's new favorite person, sat across from us. 2 other football players, Dante Weatherly and Isaiah Martin, rounded out the guys, while Julia and another girl I barely knew made up the rest. Miller had taken a seat with Ronan and a small group of people in the corner of the living room by the front window. He had his guitar in his lap and was watching me, an unreadable expression on his face. But his eyes, they look almost sad. Then he looked away, turning his attention to Amber Blake, a pretty girl with long blonde hair. Evelyn called her a granola girl. Her nickname for environmentalist pot-smoking vegans, she thought made up a good percentage of Santa Cruz's young people. Amber and Miller's heads were so close together, they were nearly touching. Maybe only to be heard over the music. Maybe not. I guess he's not so sad after all. "Yes, this game is old and cheesy, but not the way I run it," Evelyn said, tearing strips of paper lengthwise. "If your name is picked, you go in. Then we pick someone who joins you in the dark." She grinned slyly. "I'll leave it up to you to decide how to figure out who. When time's up, you leave. But that person stays in the closet and another name is picked. You get it? Like a chain. If you're not picked to go in, you drink." The group voiced their approval. "This is a woke version of 7 minutes in heaven," Evelyn continued, writing our names on the strips of paper. "That means I don't give a fuck if you're a guy and get paired with another guy, or a girl with a girl. You go in and get to know each other." She grinned again. "How well you get to know each other is up to you. Someone have a timer?"
"Yes, my queen," Holden said, and jerked his arm from his sleeve to reveal a Philip Patek watch. I recognized the crazy expensive brand since my dad had one too. Evelyn unfolded a piece of paper. "Up first, Violet McNamara." She leaned into me. "I got you, girl." I sucked in a breath and let it out slowly. Out of the corner of my eye, I found Miller watching me again, his expression stony, his mouth a grim line. Suddenly, I felt as if I was getting up in front of a firing squad. Guilt assailed me, and I froze for a second, trying to sort through a strange tangle of emotion. Then Evelyn nudged me, and I headed to the closet. Inside, I felt my way along a wall of Mr. and Mrs. Blaylock's collection of spare towels, sheets, and fabric softener, and sat down on the carpet. A few tense, nerve-wracking moments later, the door opened and a huge shape filled the dimness. The scent of woodsy cologne filled the space as Rivers shut the door, cutting the party noise in half.
"Violet?"
"I'm over here."
"It's dark as shit."
Rivers' bulky shadow made its way across from me, and he sat against the opposite wall. A silence fell. "This is a crazy party, huh?" I said, as our 7 minutes began to tick down. "Ned Holden is a strange guy."
Yeah. River coughed. "He's fucking weird. Reminds me of that vampire, Lestat."
"Oh my God, I said almost the exact same thing. Different vampire. I didn't know you read Anne Rice."
"I don't. Saw the movie. I mean, my mom watched it once. I remember some of it, I guess."
"Okay." Another silence fell, and the awkwardness between us grew. I wanted to ask how he was holding up with his mom being ill, but he probably needed the party to escape for a little bit, so I defaulted to sports. "How are football practices going?"
"Good. Long. You play a sport too, right?"
"Soccer. We don't start until spring."
"Cool."
More silence. This conversation was like an engine that wouldn't turn over.
"So, Violet."
"So, River."
"Homecoming dance is in a few weeks."
My heart took off. Finally. "Yes."
"Are you going with anyone?"
"Nope," I blurted, and then pinched myself in the arm, marveling that after months of hanging out with Evelyn, not one of her flirting skills had rubbed off on me.
"Cool. So, would you like to go with me?"
"Yeah. Yes, I'd like that. Thank you." My skin burned so hot with a mixture of happiness and embarrassment, I thought I must be glowing in the dark.
"Great. We can work out the details later," Rivers said.
"Sure." Another silence, and then someone pounded on the door, making me jump. "Time's up. Come on out, Violet. Rivers, stay put." "That's my cue." I started to get to my feet when Rivers' heavy, strong hand found mine. I felt him lean in. The dark between us shifted, and my space was filled with him. I closed my eyes, heart pounding, lips parted. This is it. My first kiss.
"Thank you, Violet,"
River said, and his breath, tinged with beer and the stronger tones of tequila, wafted over my cheek a split second before his lips landed there. A thrill skimmed down my neck, making my skin shiver pleasantly.
until I realized that kiss on the cheek wasn't an appetizer. It was the main course. He sat back against the wall and let go of my hand.
You'd better get out of here before Evelyn starts screeching.
Oh, right. I got up while wrestling my skirt back down. Okay, bye. I hurried out, a forced smile on my lips, ignoring the group's catcalls and demands for details. Well? Evelyn hissed when I resumed my seat beside her. What happened? That felt like 7 years of awkward, I said through a smile. God, that was bad. I didn't say anything worthwhile or witty, just clammed up like a dork. You weren't supposed to talk, Evelyn said, frowning. He asked me to homecoming. Yes, I knew it! I know, but we had no chemistry. Zilch. I just wasn't myself. And he wasn't exactly all charm and swoon either. You got nervous because he's a hot guy and you like him. Give it time. Going to the dance with him is just the beginning. You're right, I'm overthinking it. My fake smile turned genuine, and I eased a sigh until I caught sight of Miller watching me. He quickly turned away, back to his conversation with Amber. That's good, right? Maybe he'll ask her to the dance. Maybe we can all go together. For some reason, the thought made me want to laugh, or cry, or both. I'd probably had too much to drink. The crowd was getting impatient, so Evelyn drew another name from the pile to join River. Holden Parrish. The crowd, guys especially, oohed and nudged each other. None of that Neanderthal bullshit, Evelyn scolded. It's the 21st century, for fuck's sake. Holden tossed back a shot and climbed to his feet, swaying slightly.
If I'm not back in 7 minutes, wait longer.
The group laughed as he strode to the closet and disappeared. Oh, grow up, Evelyn said to the guys who were still snickering. My game, my rules. Everyone took a drink but me, and the 7 minutes, timed by Isaiah, ticked down. 2 minutes in, the closet door slammed open, and River strode out.
Fucking asshole,
he muttered, and stormed to the kitchen like a charging bull. The guys looked ready to follow, but Evelyn wasn't having it. The game isn't over. She snatched a name from the pile. Ooh, it's me.
Bullshit, Chance said. Someone's thirsty for the new guy.
She gave her ex the finger, adjusted her bustier-style top, and vanished inside the closet. But without Evelyn holding it together, the game was over. The guys got up to join their quarterback in the kitchen. Julia and Caitlin wanted to wait for Evelyn, but Miller was still 10 feet away, talking to Amber. Intimately. I suddenly needed to get outside and get some air. What's wrong with you? River asked you out. This is what you wanted. Still feeling as if I were on a boat tipping over mild swells, I carefully made my way to a lounger near the pool. Evelyn, Caitlin, and Julia found me a few minutes later. Well, that was a waste of my time, Evelyn said, fuming. River's right. That Holden is a fucking asshole. A psycho. What happened? I asked, alarmed. Did he try something? She looked at me as if I were stupid. No, that was the whole point. Instead, he just sat there singing.
Singing?
Yes, Violet. He's super drunk and... The other girls began to giggle and Evelyn shot them dirty looks. Oh, shut up. I need to get super drunk. She flounced off and Julia and Caitlin burst out laughing. Why, you missed it. Evie stormed out of the closet and Holden went down on one knee in front of everyone, serenading her with that Sean and Camilla song, Señorita. I frowned. But that's a sexy song. Caitlin shook her head. She didn't find it sexy that he sang it to her. I love it when you call me Señorita. It was pretty epic. That guy is crazy. Julia nodded. Rich, but crazy. A pity. I managed to smile and stood up. Will you tell Evelyn I left? I think I'm done. I'm calling an Uber. Already? It's only 10 o'clock. Yeah, I'm... From inside the house, shouts could be heard, and the sudden smashing of glass. The house music suddenly went silent, and Holden Parrish's voice rang out loud and clear.
Everyone shut the fuck up!
And that's when I heard it, the faint strains of a guitar. I hurried back into the house. The Blaylocks' dining room overlooked the living room. Holden was standing on top of the dining room table. The smashed remains of the Patron bottle lay strewn at his feet, shards glittering and scratching the polished mahogany. He barked at anyone still talking to shut up, lording over a room that had grew silent under his command. For Miller. My best friend was playing his guitar and singing, Yellow. Our song. Others rushed in from the kitchen behind me, Chance demanding to know what the fuck happened to the dining room table. I hardly noticed, neither did anyone else. Miller's voice, scratchy and low and perfect, filled the darkened room. The understated strains of his guitar moving under it. His tone and pitch were haunting, melodic, everything on display. The talent he'd kept to himself for so long, now free and touching everyone who listened, including Amber Blake. She sat cross-legged in front of him, a dreamy smile on her lips. Miller's eyes were closed. He wasn't staring longingly at her, but my heart told me he may as well have been. Why do you care? You like River. He asked you to the dance. But Miller was singing for the first time in public, with Amber. For Amber, maybe. And he'd chosen our song. My heart flooded with both joy and pain, like being feverish and chilled at the same time. The room was wrapped. Some sparked up their lighters. Others turned on the flashlight function on their phones so that the darkness turned ghostly and starlit. It was so easy to reimagine the living room as a dim concert venue in which Miller and his guitar sat under the spotlight. I tore my gaze from him to see the looming shadow of Ronan leaning against the wall casually, arms crossed but watching over Miller, protectively. I looked back to Miller, who is now watching me. Our eyes met, and he held onto my gaze mercilessly while he sang,
For you, I'd bleed myself dry.
I must have drunk too much because suddenly I felt sick. I couldn't move. My stomach had twisted in knots so tight I could barely breathe. What is wrong with me? The song ended and quiet descended until Holden, still on the dining room table, dropped two words into the stunned silence.
Holy shit.
The rest of the party erupted into cheers and applause, and that's when I broke free of my stasis. I clapped too. I clapped so hard my palm stung. My smile was so wide it hurt my cheeks. Joy filled my heart, and yet tears were streaming. Miller witnessed my reaction. His expression softened, and he started to rise, but I pushed through the crowd, out of the front door, and into the night.
Chapter 8. Miller. I lost her. My heart had already shattered into a million pieces watching River follow Violet into that closet. It cracked again when she ran away. Follow her. Tell her. Now. I got to my feet to follow Violet out the door when Frankie Dowd and his friends, Mikey and Tad, came in, crowding me and pushing me back.
Well, look who crashed this party. Where are you running off to, Stratton?
Frankie said, giving me a shove. His nose was bandaged under white gauze and tape. Dark circles ringed both eyes.
Back off, asshole, I snarled.
Amber's hand was on my arm, and she murmured soft words to come back and sit with her. I shook her off. Frankie sneered.
Or what? You gonna have your convict bodyguard cold cock me again?
Ronan loomed behind me, arms crossed, boots planted. Frankie's eyes widened in fear to see Ronan. Then he snarled.
You're fucking dead, dude. You have no idea who I am.
I know who you are.
Ronan's voice sounded like it was coming from the ground.
I know exactly who you are.
Tension tied the five of us together in tight bands that were ready to snap, and Violet was getting farther away.
Dude, what the fuck are you doing?
The party noise flattened as all eyes turned to the dining room table. Holden was tap dancing on the mahogany amid the shattered glass and barreling through a watery version of Singing in the Rain. He was drunk off his rocker, but managed to keep out of Chance's reach as the big guy tried to get him down. The room was lit, cheering and laughing, cell phones out.
My parents are going to fucking kill me, Chance raged. Someone get over here and help me get this prick off the table.
Holden laughed and danced out of the way of Chance's swiping hand. River emerged from the kitchen.
Show's over, he said, his voice cool and low. Get the fuck off.
Holden crouched and reached out a hand to River, crooning,
What a glorious feeling. I'm happy again.
River snarled and smacked his hand away. He made a grab for him, but Holden sprang off the table with shocking agility. Both he and Chance chased him the short distance to the living room, where Holden hurtled the back of the couch, landing between two people, then jumped onto the coffee table. Beer cans scattered, a bottle shattered, and the glass ground under Holden's shoes.
Just singing and dancing in the rain.
Like everyone else, I'd been so riveted by the surreal scene in front of me that I'd been ignoring the scene behind me.
You're dead, fucker, Frankie snarled at Ronan,
and I turned in time to see the crazy bastard pull a police-issue taser from the back pocket of his falling-down board shorts.
Whoa, hey,
I began, then ducked as Frankie lunged for Ronan. Ronan, who'd been like a stone statue all night, quickly feinted right and knocked Frankie's arm up and out. The taser went flying, and Ronan gripped Frankie by the front of his shirt and drove him a few steps toward Holden and the coffee table. The crowd scrambled out of the way as the guys went down in a heap on the carpet, fists flying and hands grasping and tearing at each other. River and Chance rushed over to haul them apart, but Frankie, red blood roses blooming on the white bandages on his nose, spat and fought like a rabid dog.
Fuck this guy, he screamed, wrestling out of Chance's grasp. You are so dead.
He grabbed the broken beer bottle off the coffee table at Holden's feet and brandished the jagged end at Ronan.
I'm going to kill you, motherfucker.
More shouts from River and Chance, but Frankie swung the bottle to ward them off. Amber gripped my arm, and I shielded her from the chaos as best I could while I tried to pull Ronan back, but he was as immovable as stone. The crowd hushed as Frankie took a few swipes at Ronan, and we all gasped as one of them drew blood across his forearm. Ronan glanced down at the red line opened on his skin, then back to Frankie.
That was a mistake.
His hands balled into fists, and I felt the tension in him coil, ready to spring. He was going to get cut worse, maybe even stabbed, but not until he beat the shit out of Frankie. Or kill him. Then Holden jumped down from the coffee table into the middle of the fray. He stepped between the two guys, ripped his shirt open from under his coat, and bared the left side of his chest to Frankie.
Right here, he seethed,
his voice low and cold and empty. He tapped his chest over his heart.
Put it right here. Go on. Do it. Do it.
The crowd hushed. Everyone stared. No one moved. Frankie breathed through his nose like a bull, eyes wide with shock. The bottle in his hand trembled. Slowly,
I pushed forward and took hold of Holden's arm. Hey, man, come on. Hey. Holden backed up while River took the bottle out of Frankie's hand. A moment of eased tension, and then Holden jerked out of my grasp, pulled his coat together, drew a clove cigarette from his pocket, and said jovially, "Anyone got a light?" Chance's bleary eyes widened.
"What the? Get out, you three."
He waved his finger between Holden, Ronan, and me.
"Get the fuck out of my house."
Holden turned to me with a mock expression of shock.
"Rude, right?"
An incredulous laugh escaped me, and then another, until a full-fledged outburst was building in me. The tequila I'd stupidly drunk did me no favors. I didn't need to look at my watch to know my numbers were sinking, making me feel underwater. Or maybe it's just this crazy-ass night.
"Get out!" Chance bellowed.
He lunged, and Holden and I, laughing like loons, made a run for it. We turned at the door to see Ronan level Frankie with a final glare, and then he strode in long-legged paces after us.
"You're dead, Wentz," Frankie screamed after us. "You're fucking dead."
We tore down the front steps and onto the expansive front lawn. I tripped, or maybe my strength was failing me, but I hit the grass hard, gasping for breath, but still laughing. Holden went down beside me, and we lay on our backs, staring at the night sky.
"I don't believe we've officially met.
Holden Parrish.
Miller Stratton."
We shook hands, and Holden jerked his chin at Ronan, looming over us.
"And who's the brute squad?"
I laughed harder.
Ronan Wentz.
Holden jerked his hand straight up.
"A pleasure."
Ronan crossed his arms.
"Crazy bastards."
Another round of laughter rolled through us.
"How did you do that?"
Holden asked me, wiping his eyes.
"Do what?" "Play and sing like you did, like a fucking miracle."
Warmth bloomed in my chest.
"Nah, everyone's heard that song. It's a million years old."
Holden shrugged, staring at the sky.
"They've heard the song, but you put your heart and soul out there. That's not something people hear every day."
He was wrong. I didn't put my heart on a slab for them, but for Violet. And then I shoved it in her face. The tears in her eyes.
"It was our song, and I gave it away."
The front door banged open.
"I said, get the fuck off my property!"
Chance stormed down the walk. River, the fucking asshole who probably gave Violet her first kiss in the closet that night, followed after, his expression dark and solemn, calm and sober compared to Chance's enraged drunk.
"Fuck you."
My laughter died, and I hauled myself off the lawn. Holden scrambled to his feet and drew Chance's attention by climbing onto a Range Rover parked in the drive. The car alarm blared down the darkened street, lights flashing. Amber hurried out of the house, my guitar case in her hand.
"Here,"
she said, handing it to me. Her eyes were cornflower blue, light where violets were dark. Her hair was the sun, when violets was jet black. Her lips thin, while violets were full and ripe to be kissed. River got her kiss. He'll get all her firsts.
"Miller?"
"Oh, hey," I said, taking the case from her. "Strange fucking night."
"You played beautifully, just incredible."
"Yeah, thanks." I hadn't the first clue what to say to her. It wasn't her I wanted to be talking to. Holden raced past me, laughing.
"Time to go."
"Time to go," I repeated to Amber, the laughter starting to creep back in. See you later? She smiled.
I hope so.
The sound of police sirens wailed in the distance as Holden led Ronan and me toward a black sedan parked across the street. A uniformed driver sat in the front seat.
Good evening, James, Holden said as we climbed in the back. Would you be so kind as to remove my friends and me from the immediate area?
James nodded, and the car sped down the darkened avenue.
Home, sir?
Fuck no, Holden said. He looked to us. Thoughts, gentlemen? I exchanged glances with Ronan, who nodded once.
My place, I said, and told James the address.
At the Lighthouse Apartments, James parked the sedan in a visitor spot and we climbed out.
Cozy, Holden said, eyeing the complex. After party at Shea Stratton?
Not quite. I nodded at James in the sedan.
How long will he wait?
As long as I need him to. Holden lit a clove cigarette and waved away the smoke and our curious stares.
Fear not. James is being well compensated for his time.
Okay, let's go.
Ronan and I led the way down the beach, over the roughest rock and lashing surf. If Holden was upset that his expensive clothes were getting wet and caked with sand, he didn't complain. At the fisherman's shack, he glanced around, peering in the darkened space.
Not bad. Could use a few upgrades.
In front of the shack, Ronan lit a bonfire. The vast black ocean touched the shore in white foam 30 yards away, while a million stars wheeled above. I sat down heavily on the rock and pulled out a few gummies.
CBD? Holden said. Sharing is caring, Stratton.
Not CBD. Glucose. I have diabetes.
A genuine look of concern flashed over his green eyes.
You okay?
Yeah, thanks. I glanced at him sideways.
What did you do to piss off River Whitmore?
I pissed off a lot of people tonight. You'll have to be more specific.
The quarterback. When you were playing that 7 minutes game.
Ah, yes. Holden cleared his throat, then shrugged, his eyes on the ocean.
Don't remember.
You sure?
You sound disappointed.
I was hoping you kicked him in the nuts.
Do tell.
The weight of the night and all that had happened and not happened weighed on me, pressing me down, making me tired.
Not tonight.
Fair enough.
Ronan offered us beers from the cooler he'd stashed in the shack. Holden took one. I waved it off.
Still feeling low, I said,
and pulled an OJ out of my backpack.
It's nice here,
Holden said after a minute.
Really fucking nice. Like I can just breathe.
I nodded.
Same.
Same,
Ronan said.
Do you guys hang out here a lot?
Holden asked, and I saw vulnerability in his eyes. The shields came down a little. I'd only seen him on two speeds so far, cool and collected or wildly drunk. For the first time, he seemed more like a 17-year-old guy without any costume on.
Most days.
I took a pull from my juice. I checked in with Ronan, who nodded.
You're welcome to come here too, anytime. Mi casa es su casa. Except it's not a house.
How do you say our shitty shack is your shitty shack in Spanish?
Nuestra casucha es su casucha,
Holden replied immediately in a flawless Spanish accent. Ronan and I exchanged glances.
You speak Spanish?
And French, Italian, a little Portuguese, and some Greek.
You some kind of genius?
Ronan asked.
So they say, Holden said, his gaze on the ocean.
My IQ is 153.
I gave a low whistle. Holden nodded.
Sounds as if it could be helpful, right?
Helpful? I snorted.
That's like having the answer key to life.
He scoffed.
If only. As far as I can tell, it just means the nonstop thoughts in my head are more cunning and can torment me in multiple languages.
I waited until the tension eased a little, then casually asked,
So, do I email you all my homework assignments directly, or do you prefer hard copy?
Holden rolled his eyes, laughing, and the dark shadow that had fallen over him seemed to lift.
No chance, Stratton.
I grinned.
Worth a shot.
A more comfortable silence fell.
Yeah, it's pretty damn perfect right here, Holden said. Like we're at the edge of the world and no one can touch us.
Yep, I said, and Ronan nodded. Holden inhaled and then exhaled.
I'm gay, he said. I just want to get that out there, in case it wasn't obvious. Is that going to be a problem?
I frowned.
No. Why would it?
Ask my father. He looked to Ronan.
How about you?
Ronan took a pull off his beer.
No, I'm not gay.
A beat passed, and then the laughter came roaring back. My sides ached and tears built in the corners of my eyes. Even Ronan chuckled and spewed more lighter fluid on the fire. Any tension that might have existed between the three of us burned up in the flames, and I felt like I had when I first met Ronan. That Holden Parrish belonged here too, with us.
You're a crazy motherfucker, you know that?
He wiped his eyes.
So I'm told.
You could have been in with them, you know, the popular kids.
Why would I do that when fucking with them is so much more fun?
Fun,
Ronan said, his voice flat, cutting into the laughter like a cold knife.
Is that what that shit with Frankie was about? Fun?
Holden's smile fled, and a cold shadow seemed to drop over him.
I did it to throw him off guard, that's all.
That wasn't all. Not by a long shot. But we all had secrets and dark shit in our pasts. What made Ronan stick around was that I didn't pry, and neither of us was about to start now with Holden. But as the night deepened, he told us a little about himself, how he'd moved here from Seattle, and that he lived with his aunt and uncle in Seabright, the wealthiest neighborhood in Santa Cruz. The mansions even dwarfed Violet's house.
You had only one more year of high school, I said. Why leave?
Not up to me. After my sophomore year, my father arranged for me to take a little detour into the wilderness.
You mean like a camp?
Sure, he said sourly, hunching into his coat, despite the fire and the warm summer night. A camp. And that camp necessitated that I spend a year in Switzerland at the Sanitarium du Lac Léman, he said in a French accent as flawless as his Spanish. That's Lake Geneva to you and me.
Sanitarium?
Loony bin, crazy house, mental institution. Take your pick. I faced forward.
Jesus.
There was no Jesus as far as I could see, Holden said, smiling sadly. Believe me, I looked. A short silence fell, and then Ronan arched another stream of lighter fluid on the fire.
That must have been one hell of a wilderness camp.
I held my breath while Holden stared. Then he threw back his head and laughed.
Is this guy for real?
100%. I clinked my juice to Holden's beer bottle. To you, for surviving the camp, and Switzerland. Holden swallowed, trying not to show how those words touched him.
to Ronan, you magnificent bastard.
He reached across me to toast with the big guy. For being 100% fucking real.
Ronan dug into his jacket pocket and pulled out a small yellow device.
To Frankie, the stupid fucker who didn't notice I swiped his police taser.
The earth stood still for a split second, and then we laughed, all three of us. We laughed so fucking hard that for a few hours, I forgot that my heart was broken.
Chapter 9. Violet. The gym was loud with the sounds of cheers, stamping feet, and music. The cheerleaders, Evelyn leading, performed a routine in their blue and yellow skirts and sleeveless sweaters. Metallic gold pom-poms rustled and glinted in the sun streaming in from the huge windows behind the basketball hoops.